Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Jack.
I'm Ty.
I wasn't going to do it this time. I wasn't going to laugh. And here we are. Sorry.
I bet you missed my
every
succulent
time I forget
voice.
That you do the voice.
The sultry voice. Oh, God.
I don't want that in my brain. I don't want succulent voice in my brain anymore. Thank you, Jack, for
Fuck
that.
Fuck that, I do.
And this is Bill. And yeah, we're back.
We're back. Another episode.
What have you guys been playing?
Oh, man. I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, and it's...
Oh, you finally started that?
Yeah. Thank goodness I had played it a while back when it first came out, and got a good...
Oh, yeah, you borrowed my Pro when
That's
I got
right.
it.
That's right. And I had that cloud save, because, man...
Oh, for real?
There's a lot I did that I'm so glad I did, because it's so much. It's a lot of filler, and so I'm just now doing the final mission for the DLC, and then right after I have the final mission for the main story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost done with it, and I like it, man. I just wish this game would have been perfect without open world. Like, if it was just maybe some big levels, like how Uncharted did in the latest Uncharted game. Not four, but it was like that side game. They did like big open...
Oh, Lost Legacy?
Yeah, it was a linear story and stuff. But it was big open levels to explore. If they had done that with this, it would have been great. Because all the side stuff is boring and not interesting. But...
You know what's funny? I don't like... So I wasn't a big fan of Horizon. I bought it when the Pro came out because it was like Pro enhanced, and I'm like, oh, this looks kind of cool, right? You know, Robo Dinosaurs and other stuff, right? And it didn't get me. Like, there's something about the story that just didn't bring me in. It felt like I was just kind of like going all over for no reason. And then also you brought up the side Uncharted game, which was like very disappointing for me. So it's funny.
Say that was like a great game, but like that design choice.
No, I understand.
I think it would have worked better with that design in mind.
I could see that a little more
because I really do like the puzzles with the monsters, the robots. It's really fun to like figure out where to shoot them with what weapon, what traps to place, use their own weapons against them, or steal the T-Rex launcher and then attack all the little guys. Like, it was cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
How long did it take you to beat that?
I think around 30-ish hours, on top of what I had done previously. And you know me, I'm completionist.
So you just resumed your game?
Yeah, I just resumed it because, like, I remember the beginning area was just full of nothing. Thankfully, I'd finished it all.
That's a good defining factor for that game for me. Was a lot of it was filled with nothing.
Yeah.
From my experience of it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm excited for the possibilities of in the sequel. Like, because there's a lot of things that they did well in this, but a lot of things that don't work or not interesting and kind of boring. And
I'd agree with that. I feel like they have a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. With the sequel, if they really up their game with this one, it could be a really awesome game.
The premise was cool and it was well received, so I think they have a potential opportunity to make something really great.
It probably has the best climbing mechanics as well. Like,
you think?
Yeah, because I've played lots of Assassin's Creed games, the Infamous games, and every time I try to do something, I'm getting so mad at the character because they're grabbing things I don't want them to grab. But in this one, there isn't a lot of things that she needs to grab. And climbing is just so quick and easy, and it looks good. Like, she does some really fun gymnastics and stuff while she's climbing, and it's really quick and enjoyable, and she does what I want her to do.
What about you, Ty?
I think I've said this like the last three times, but I've just been playing Opera Omnia. My boy Cecil's coming soon. Theodore is launching in about an hour from when we're recording right now.
Ooh.
Yes, and that's like it. Otherwise, I've just been like doing work stuff. But yeah, literally just Opera Omnia. No big updates from there. How about you, Bill?
Gotcha. So I try and like pay attention to indie games when I can, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've said it before, I think it's a very like good look into, you know, some of the stuff we can see in the future and like opportunities for a lot of people and stuff like that. It's really neat. I like to see creativity come through and stuff like that. So I try and keep up to date, mm-hmm. right? I completely either missed or disregarded it. I actually want to do a write-up on it. I've been playing a game called No Straight Roads.
Ooh.
Have either of you guys heard of this?
I believe so. Let me double check.
It's really neat. like,
oh yeah.
I was watching something on YouTube and it came up, because it came out a while ago, and I'm like, this looks really neat. Like, the art design's a little weird, but it's not bad. But there's something about it, like, it's a rhythm action game.
Yeah.
And I am somebody with zero rhythm. Zero. but there's a lot of, like, depending on how you tackle the game and stuff, like, the amount of, like, actual rhythm you have to do is not, like, a crazy amount. So it's very, like, digestible for, you know, whoever's playing it. Because there's no, like, real difficulty modes, what it is it'll judge you at the end of it and give you a rank. So, like, you know, you get a B or a C or an A, you know, depending on how you do, or an S. And you'll get extra fans. And fans is how you, like, upgrade your characters. And so, like, the premise is the world is run by, like, it's a corporation called NSR, and they power the world. And how they do that is through music. And, like, the heads of it are like, well, you know, you have to do what we say and stuff like that. And the top artists are all EDM based for the most part. And they're like, no, we're bringing back rock. you know, it's really cheesy at times, but it's like, it's having fun with itself. And so you're going through and beating up all these, basically how it goes is there's like a town and like the town base, right? And you'll go beat a boss and you unlock like their section of that bit, because you take it over and then you start powering it and stuff. And then the other phase is basically the boss phase for the most part. So you go through, there's like a section that you have to like traverse or you unlock through, and then you fight like the boss encounter kind of thing. And each one's been, you know, variably different. But yeah, I'm super enjoying it. I keep like going back and being like, this is like just fun. Like, it's a good time. I definitely recommend it. yeah, it's neat.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that back at E3, I think 2 years ago.
Probably like 18. Mm-hmm. I think it came out in 19, so I'd assume you probably saw it like 17, 18.
Because I remember it, I fell asleep while watching a YouTube video and it auto played into one of the boss battles. And I remember it.
The music is
super good. Yeah, I was going to say I remember it because the music was really good. I think the boss fight's called DJ West.
DJ West, DJ.
Yeah, and like that's the fun.
He's our man. He's the best.
That's the fun thing about it is I haven't played the game and I'm planning on eventually. But like, even just listening to that one song, like I can even still be like DJ West, DJ West. We all know he's the best.
That one that is the one that like sticks in your head 100%. It's the only one that has like, so each villain or whatever will be kind of like, it'll have slightly different musical cues. So like the first one you fight is, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like a dude in like a space
suit kind of stuff. Isn't his name DJ Galaxy or
something? It's something like that, yeah. And then the next one is like a virtual pop star. Then you fight DJ West. Then the one after that is like this like classical music person. So like each one has a very like different feel to it. It's a neat game. I'm really enjoying it. The way they do it is pretty unique. And yeah, I like it a lot. but yeah, that's really been it for me. I've been plugging away at our podcast game a bit. Not really much else. Strikers a little bit, but I haven't touched that in the last couple days. I really need to go back to it, but like I said, No Straight Roads has captured me. yeah, that's about it for me.
Cool.
So I guess we move on to the
news. Nope, too bad. News? That sucks, bro. Here's an ad. Welcome back. That was fast.
That was a nice ad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I'm gonna do my news, but first, because number one, it's the most depressing, and number two, literally over the last like 2 months of Magazine Rec, I've been hyping up Guilty Gear Strive, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard. This is kind of old news at this point, but as many of you heard, Guilty Gear Strive has been delayed. The big reason for it, like the things they posted a big reason, and instead of just being like, oh, we're improving something, blah blah blah, they said like, hey guys, we know you guys really didn't like the online lobbies, we're gonna take 2 extra months just to work on the online lobbies. So like, people are upset, but more recently, and like the newer news about it is that they said that they're planning on doing another beta to test out the new lobbies that they're working on to make sure people like them. And
I mean, that's cool, at least. Yeah. Like, they took the feedback that they received, you know, and pushed it that way. Yeah,
because they did a beta test for the game, like, ages ago, probably, like, 3 months ago now, and that was the one issue, is that people are like, the lobbies aren't great, but maybe they need to be more populated. Maybe that's the issue. And then in the recent beta test, the lobbies were full, and people are like, this lobby system's trash. Like, this just really sucks. So I think they kind of took that to heart, and they're like, all right, we're going to scrap the lobby system. We're going to redo it. But they're like, otherwise, everything else is done. We just need to do the lobbies. I'm just upset about it, Piz. Exactly a month from now, it was supposed to release, and they pushed it back to July, I think. No, June.
It's such a bummer because, like, it's something you're excited for. The base of the game is done, but, like, that part, you know? Like, that's something that feels like such a... it's such a bummer because it's such a... it's not a small thing. Like, it's important. Yeah. But at the same time, it feels like such a small thing for a fighting game because, like, the point of the game is to fight, right? So, like, it's a bummer. Yeah.
The other good news about it is that because of all of the positive feedback that they've gotten from the betas, they're actually going to start implementing the same network frame into their other games to the point where they're awesome. They might actually be retrofitting some of their older games to do it. So people are really excited about that.
Oh, that's good.
But oh, they also did like a little gameplay video showing off the two new characters, but that's like literally it. Like, so yeah, I just came here to be depressed.
I mean, they got time to
do stuff. Like, you know, I've said this in our first Magazine Rec, like, you know, as long as they're not being like shoved into crunch, like, I'm happy with it. And the thing is, I'd rather have them have 2 extra months to work on it than just spend either A, a month just denying that it's bad and launch with it anyway, or B, like, just crunching through that 1 month just to get the lobby done. Like, if they take an extra 2 months, like, better for them, really.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all for my...
What's your story this week, Jack?
I have a plethora of stories. You guys ready for this?
Shoot.
Nope.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. You know what's so hot right now amongst devs?
Among Us?
No.
Fortnite?
Left 4 Dead style games.
Huh.
They announced three of them, E3.
Wasn't that the Game Awards?
The game, with the time that E3 was supposed to happen, they announced like multiple different games. Right. There was like a Warhammer Left 4 Dead style game, 40K. Oh, yeah. There was like a dinosaur one, survival one that looked really bad.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Wasn't that the Game Awards?
It might have been the Game Awards.
Yeah, that was Game Awards.
And then there was new Left 4 Dead game. I can't remember what it's called, but it's not Left 4 Dead, but it's by the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just a few days ago,
Two Dead, Two Furious.
Probably. But just a few days ago, they released an announcement trailer for Aliens Fireteam, which looks kind of interesting. Oh, right.
I heard about this.
Because there's going to be like 20 different types of enemies, including 11 unique xenomorphs. It looks like Aliens for sure, but the past few Aliens games, like Aliens Colonial Marines, was not good. Alien Isolation was the only good one. Well, that's
one that was good was Isolation, yeah, right?
But yeah, that was a single player survival horror game. This one, you're right, just a group of guys. Hopefully.
Well, it's like, why are they doing anything but the survival horror type thing? Yeah. Like that's such a perfect fit. I remember my brother-in-law and his friend would be playing it, and his friend kept like freaking out whenever they were playing. And it was hilarious to watch.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hope this is good, because it'd be really fun to play. Looks like there's five unique classes you get to play as.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, I want more things in the Alien universe. That's
a possibility.
Yeah. I would love more things, but they just have been doing such a bad job in the past, except for Isolation, which they haven't done anything else with. Like, why?
Right. Well, what was the studio that made that?
Oh, I don't remember. Let me see. Like, one of the things they could have done is made it a VR version, but they didn't do that.
Oh, dude.
I know, right?
Dude. That would be crazy.
That would be absolutely nuts.
Creative Assembly and Feral Interactive.
Right.
But yeah, they didn't do much with that, which was a bummer. But hopefully there's some good things coming from this one. We'll see. Also, today, as of the recording, Xbox has finally acquired all of the studios under ZeniMax Media. Bethesda was the last one they were acquiring today. That includes id Software, ZeniMax Online Studios, Arcane, Machine Games, Tango Games, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse Studios. So now those are all under the Xbox flag and will be exclusive in the future. So all those
games, they announced it a while back.
Right.
And you know, it's one of those things. I think we might have did we talk about it on here? Like one of our early episodes
from Xbox? I believe we had.
I feel like we did. Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, at least for me, there's like one IP in all of those studios that really had anything that I cared about. So, like, for me, this didn't really affect me much. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people like a lot of the titles.
Yeah, because that includes Bethesda.
Yeah. You got games like Wolfenstein, Dishonored, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Doom, Senua's Sacrifice, Evil Within, Rage.
That's the one, Senua's Sacrifice for me.
Yeah, so like those are all games that I'd be interested in. Oh, Prey.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft Dungeons. I think Forza? Is that Total War?
They already had Forza. Or a racing game.
It might be a different racing game.
I don't know
game,
which one's which.
But on their page, it shows a car.
Because there's...
So I'm assuming it's Forza.
Because there's the basically the Xbox racing game, and then there's the PlayStation racing game, and I can never remember which one's which.
I believe... I want to say Forza's Xbox, but I might be wrong.
I think you're right, because I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of a bummer that future Doom and Dishonored games might be on Xbox only or PC.
I don't think there's any might about it. I think
I'm sad about that.
Was it same with Fallout?
Yeah, Fallout as well. Yeah.
And potentially Elder Scrolls too.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, I haven't like obviously Elder Scrolls 6 is probably going to be multi-console, but we'll have to see everything coming past that really.
Yeah, anything that they announced already having a specific title a console attached, they said they're honoring. Mm-hmm. Now that was confirmed. So.
Interesting that it's finally happened. Like, so the Xbox
has been doing this isn't anything new. Yeah, I was gonna say Xbox has been doing this for quite a while now, which I mean is smart. it's smart for them to do that.
I just don't want to own an Xbox anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the annoying part is you have to, you basically pick your console and stick to it.
Yeah, yeah. Like we,
you know, some people are able to buy more than one. But at that point, if you're running more than one console, you might as well just have a PC.
Yeah, like that's ultimately the issue with it is like, you know, by making games exclusive, you're not helping, I guess, the larger industry. Like, the more exclusive a game is, the less copies it's going to sell, obviously, because not everyone can buy it, and not everyone who wants it can buy it. Like, if they made Overwatch, like, PC exclusive, I don't think it would have done half as well, because there's so many, like, PS4 and Xbox, Xbone players. Sure. So, I don't know. I always get upset at console exclusivity. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. To me, it just feels unnecessary at this point.
Well, it's interesting because Xbox, mm-hmm. right? Just about anything that's coming out on the Xbox platform is coming to PC as well through their store, like Windows Store or mm-hmm. whatever. I don't remember what it's called. I'm a dingus. I'm tired. but, like, to me as a consumer, it means I don't need to buy an Xbox because it'll either, anything I want to play will either be on PlayStation mm-hmm. or also available on Windows or Windows shortly after. That doesn't bug me at all. I don't generally play a lot on PC, but like if there's something I want bad enough, yeah, I'll go there. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to buy a whole console if I don't have mm-hmm. to, if I could play it something on my PC, right. Which having a better PC, I'd rather put the money I'd buy it put into a console to upgrade my PC anyway, because it could do gaming and a hell of a lot more. So, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer then, right? It's gonna convert more console gamers into PC gamers, if anything.
Which, you know, at the end of that, Microsoft wins anyway, so maybe that's what they're actually trying to push for. Because like really Microsoft really doesn't lose if they do console exclusives.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
yeah.
They lose potential sales on like Xbox Series X, but once again, if they're pushing for PCs anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Pretty wild.
In other news, I'm sure you guys know I'm a big fan of speedrunning, and there was an interesting development that happened in the Paper Mario community recently.
Oh no.
I don't know if you guys have heard this. Oh, really? But
no, I have not.
There is a guy who figured out how to beat the game in under an hour. He's got a new record of 54 minutes 22 seconds.
Which paper?
The 64
original.
Original.
Hear about this. Because didn't they discover a credits warp?
So yes, he discovered a credits warp, and the reason why I bring this up is because it's a very interesting way to do it. You can do this without using a TAS or anything. Any person can do this.
Mm-hmm.
But you use.
Did they learn it through TAS?
No.
Through
goofy stuff. But it uses the stop and swap method by switching the game out with Ocarina of Time and then switching back.
Yeah, I did hear about this.
Really
now.
Bizarrely, it works. I am not tech savvy enough to explain everything, but basically what happens is you do some stuff in Paper Mario, and then you it looks like you crash the game, and then by doing these weird jumps, it executes a part of the memory where the player flags an idle timer, and you let it sit for, it looks like 69 seconds
mm-hmm.
before releasing the stored effects, causing a crash from garbage data. And you switch out the games to Ocarina of Time, do a few things, change the file name to a specific thing. Also do a crash there.
Probably something with enough characters to alter a specific thing in the other game kind of thing.
Swap back, and then it goes right. You do a few more things in Paper Mario, and then it goes right to the credits. Cutting.
Excellent.
What it looks like 40 minutes from the current world. Wow. No, 50 minutes from the current world record. So,
which for like speedrunning is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's speedrunning a long form RPG. Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, that's crazy. I remember seeing news articles about it. I didn't put two and two together when you brought it up, that it was the same thing.
Pretty wild.
Because I'm like, oh yeah, it was such a weird, like, the way that articles were titled. It was like, oh yeah, somebody beats Paper Mario by playing Ocarina of Time or something like that. I'm like, is this some, like, weird computer thing where, or they're playing two games at once and they're trying to play, you know, I wrote it off.
Right.
But yeah. But
for those of you who don't know,
I've actually been watching a lot of speedrun stuff recently, so.
How fun. but
yeah, I never really got into it much.
So the stopping swap method, for those that don't know, is the 64 actually allowed you to store memory for, I think, 6 to 8 seconds or something like that, when swapping cartridges. That was an unintentional feature that Nintendo had put into their system that the guys at Rare wanted to take advantage of, but then Nintendo was like, no, that's actually not a good thing to do because it could potentially damage the cartridges. So that's why the feature was not implemented in any games. But it's weird that they found a way to manipulate that for a glitch in Paper Mario speedrunning.
That's cool. The stop and swap thing, it has a really cool, like, history and stuff. Like, I'm sure there's tons of articles and stuff on it online about it, but it's very interesting, and if you're listening and you're interested in it, you should definitely look it up.
So I just watched, while we've been talking about it, I looked up the, like, last 3 minutes of the speedrun, and that's interesting, because, like, the whole last, like, 3 minutes is just like jumping in one place and doing something, which is probably messing with the values to be able to switch the, I assume, the level value or the, like, scene value to the credits.
Bunch of weird technical jargon stuff happening.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I'm glad you told me about that, because I didn't realize that's what it was about.
Yeah, really neat.
Anything else for you?
Yeah, in other news, we're all fans of Dungeons & Dragons, and we've all been in different campaigns and done things like that. We even have an episode.
You might hear more about it in one of our upcoming side episodes, coming soon, whenever I end up editing and deciding to put it out.
To a media player near you.
A media
But yeah, so Dungeons & Dragons have recently, like, got their shit together and got the licensing back, and so now they had planned on releasing.
I'm gonna put major air quotes there.
Well, they announced, I think, back in 2019 that they have 7 or 8 games planned for their series set in the Dungeons & Dragons world, and they had just recently not announced,
and like a movie and a bunch of stuff too.
But Hidden Path Entertainment is making a AAA third person open world fantasy that takes place inside Dungeons and Dragons, which sounds really cool.
It could be neat.
If it sounds like maybe, like, we could hope for a Dragon Age style game, that'd be pretty neat.
Could be cool, yeah. I mean, I could see them at this point doing it better than BioWare, considering the track record.
Yeah.
Currently,
for sure. And then they're also doing
it could be neat.
They're also doing a movie. Paramount is working on a film with Hugh Grant as the villain.
I feel like they've been talking about that for a while.
I think just recently it was announced that Hugh Grant is a villain. Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Justice Smith is going to be in it.
Interesting choice.
Could be weird. I'm wondering if it's going to be like a Jumanji kind of thing, where it's just people playing the game and they get sucked into the realm.
An Ace of
Or if it's going to be just actually set in the fantasy world.
Well, I hope it's just set in the fantasy world. I'm so tired of, like, isekai ideas and just so, like, oh, we're teleported into the game. Like, we saw that with the Jumanji, and that's fine because that was the original premise of Jumanji. But, like, seeing so much anime and stuff that has, like, that basic idea, it's like, can we please just get a straight fantasy film now?
I feel like the only way they could make that work, though, is if they had, like, the celebrities that are actually into D&D, like Vin Diesel and them. Like, there's actually quite a few celebrities that are, like, hardcore into D&D.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think they could probably even do like a cute framing device with that, like, you know, have those celebrities playing the game that turns into the story, etc. Or even right. just like kind of a post-credit scene of the of like everything, the story resolving and everything being good, and then it like zooms out to like Vin Diesel as the Dungeon Master.
I mean, that would be awesome, first of all. Secondly, though, unfortunately, I feel like there's been so many things that have done that already that, like, if they came up and did it, it'd be very uncreative of them because, like, they're coming in late to the party, right? You know, like, Stranger Things or tons of other, like, things have, like, done similar S kind of things. But I would love to see what creative, like, way that they implement, you know, that. I mean, I don't say I love D&D anymore, but I like D&D. I like tabletop RPGs and stuff. And D&D was a big part of that. But I never really played much in like the actual D&D world, like the lore world. I always did like homebrew type stuff or like, oh yeah, I made my own world and stuff. Every time I've tried to pay attention to D&D lore, I was kind of like a little bored or disinterested at least. But it could work really well with a, you know, movie setting. So I'm interested to see what they come up with it.
Other news, Pyrin Mithra came out a few days ago. They're actually surprisingly really good. Really fun to play.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to get nerfed soon. I got a feeling like...
Oh, they're like OP?
Well, like Pyra hits so hard and she just has a lot of range and a lot of moves that are hard to get around. Mithra being a really fast, but she doesn't hit hard. I feel like we'll see. Right now, Pyra is going to be everyone's main for a bit and just deal damage with her. But I can see like down the line, Mithra being the speedy one with some really good moves, taking over and just being like Smash players' character of choice.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye out on the, like, I don't play Smash competitively. It's just never been my cup of tea. Competitively specifically, like, I do enjoy the game, but I do kind of want to keep an eye out and see who's, like, picking up Pyra and, you know, kind of what she does in local stuff. I try to keep an eye on some, like, online tournaments, but I've been kind of off of it lately.
Yeah, I like Smash, but it's definitely not my world.
It's just FGC stuff for me, so it's just like, oh, okay, cool.
It all gets kind of lumped in with your stuff, feels like. So. Yeah. That it for you, Jack?
I think the last thing I would like to talk about is Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, right, we didn't talk about that yet.
Of course. We're huge Final Fantasy VII fans, including the remake.
What are two or three episodes on Final Fantasy, and we probably could have done more. Didn't give that away.
They announced a trailer for a PS5 upgrade as well as showing DLC with Yuffie coming to Midgar with her own side story, and man, she looks so much fun to play, and I'm really interested to see how this is going to go, because in the original game she wasn't there. You don't find her until later, and she's an optional character.
Is that, well, you find her pretty early on once you leave.
Well, yeah, but like this is in Midgar.
Right. Well, I mean, I assume this is taking place since it's intergrade. To me, that reads as after. So my guess is, you know, you're not going to join with the main party right? So this is going to be what happens before, and so you have. As we saw in the trailer, there's a lot of like the Dirge of Cerberus stuff.
Yes. I'm the minority that likes the Dirge of Cerberus stuff, so I'm excited for that.
I haven't played it, so I don't have any like prejudices against it. But the, you know, it's cool that it'll be in the background filling that stuff in for when we get more when we get the other part of this news. That, you know, it'll fill in the blanks between that point. And my guess is her going to, what was that town that you meet her in initially?
You don't meet her in a town. You meet her.
Or not town. You meet her in the field, right?
I'm pretty sure it's outside of Red 13's area, Cosmo Canyon.
It was either there or the place with, like, the rocks.
Calm?
Or was it rocks? Something like that. It was one of those
areas. No, it was after Calm.
Really early on. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It was, like, right after that. And my guess is this is going to lead, like, straight into that, is my hope. So, like, you'll either part ways or the other character will die that you're with as, like, the final part of it, right? And it'll lead right into her joining up with them. Is my guess. I
wonder if they'll tease the outside world at the very end, maybe.
That would be cool. I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
But that would be really
cool. Yeah, we'll see. Because, like, that would mean that they'd have to kind of go away from their chapters that they set up in part one.
Right.
Apparently, it's going to be two chapters worth of content, is what they said.
Oh, that's not much. But I guess it's only 20 bucks. Yeah. We'll see.
That's not bad, but. It's not as bad as Kingdom Hearts 3's $30 for what they gave us. I was so pissed.
For basically like a fight.
You get a revamped final act, final battles, and then 13 optional hard battles, and that's it. No answers, no nothing.
It just left you with more questions, if anything.
It was a big middle finger to all fans everywhere.
You know, lore heavy game that's almost as confusing.
If you want to hear my thoughts about that, go check out our Kingdom Hearts podcast episode that we did.
Oh yeah, that's right, because that came out like right when that DLC came out too, and you were very upset. You're like, I'm never gonna play Kingdom Hearts again, kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm done with the series.
Well, you're not gonna play the new music game?
Absolutely not. There's like 5 minutes of cutscenes of actual stuff, and apparently it's not even worth it.
That's what they do, man.
It's $60. I thought it was a mobile game.
No, it's not a mobile game. It's a 3DS game.
Was it 3DS? It's on like all platforms, I thought.
Maybe Switch.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't remember. Either way,
$60. It's not worth it. I played the demo and the rhythm was not fun.
Well, my question is, I didn't play it, but like, not Kingdom Hearts, but Square Enix already has a really good, like, people really liked the Theatricum, or however you pronounce that.
Theorhythm.
That was on the DS. Theorhythm? People really like those. So, like, it's interesting to see them take that kind of approach, where it seems a lot less, you know, liked.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to this DLC, and... It is kind of weird, though, that it's exclusive to PS5. I think they just want people to get the new system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm like, it's already exclusive to PlayStation. What are you talking about? PS5, yes, you're right.
Yeah, so if you have PS4, annoying, you can't play the DLC.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks for people, but depending on what they're doing with it, it could make sense.
Yeah.
We don't know. Like, that's the thing, is, like, you can complain about all you want. Depending on the content involved, it could make sense, you know?
We'll see. I'm a little pessimist. I love Squeenix. I love everything Squeenix does, but I'm pessimistic for it. It just feels like another way to just be like, maybe we could just get another $20 out of everybody. And, like, to be fair, they're going to get it from me. I had enough fun on Final Fantasy that I want to keep playing it, and I'd love to see more content.
Oh, yeah, they definitely have it for me.
For sure.
And then they announced the whole, like, the compilation of Final Fantasy
remake, right? Thing. Remaking all the games.
And the Battle Royale.
Including the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was huge, is that they're redoing the movie, they're redoing the phone game, and they're redoing Dirge Cerberus and Final Crisis Core. As well as the main Final Fantasy VII.
Like, yeah.
All of Final Fantasy VII is being remade in this, like, basically looks like Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition.
Yes.
Form. So this will be the first time we get to experience a few of those stories, which is really cool.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that's going to go. And they probably already have my money because I want to play the side games.
Well, it's mobile only, though.
I know, it's weird.
And it's going to be in chapters.
But... they did do Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition on Switch, so I can see that happening in the future as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. Pocket Edition wasn't great, but I understand it.
Because at least from what I saw, like Pocket Edition, like people didn't really care about it, and people largely just like ignored it or didn't even really know about it. But I hear that it had pretty decent reviews. I'm looking it up right now.
The people I know who played it, the people I know who played it for the first time as their first entry of that part, people enjoyed it. I played a couple minutes of it and it was fine, but I already played the other one, so I'm like, I don't need to play this.
Right. Yeah, like I'm checking App Store and like Metacritic right now, and it's like a 4 out of 5. Like people are generally positive about it, which, you know.
It's weird, but it's not bad.
And the thing is, it's a really good breakdown of like, you know, the story of Final Fantasy 15 and stuff like that. I'm actually super excited for the 7 remake,
as people have been joking. I think it'll take it back. Right. I think it'll take it back to like a classic Final Fantasy style more than anything, which is cool.
That, and we're seeing a divide in the lore and the canon of Final Fantasy 7 in 7 Remake. So I think this is nice that it's like, hey, here's the original lore, original everything. Yeah. And I also personally love the art. Like seeing the portraits and stuff was actually super cool.
It reminds me of some of the other Final Fantasy games in the past. And so I'm very excited to see how they handled this. So it's cool. It's interesting because Nomura is stepping back too, with the remake stuff. He's taking another title. Like he's still involved, but he's not like heading it up anymore. So I'm interested to see what that means.
How's that gonna look?
Right. Because even from the original one, he was there, right? So like, it's very interesting to see him taking a step back.
You know,
so,
funny thing too,
we're getting Kingdom Hearts. No,
the funny thing too is that the final battle apparently wasn't Nomura's idea. Yeah. Even though it was so Kingdom Hearts esque, it wasn't him.
I know.
Apparently.
I know.
Like, all right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I do think it's funny because that was like the thing everyone was like, Nomura, why did you do this? Blah, blah.
It wasn't him. Yeah.
The one time
he was just a bad example.
I think it was good that his colleagues came out and said that wasn't him. Like he didn't be like, guys, it wasn't me, because no one will believe him. But his colleagues were like, no,
right.
That wasn't him. That was more
us or whatever. Yeah,
because that was like the biggest criticism, at least lore wise, for 7 Remake was like, what's all this fate stuff? Like it's kind of dumb. And
outside of the, I'm just going to complain. Yeah. Right.
And we even talked about that a little bit on our episode about it. Go watch it. And because that was the thing that it felt.
Maybe don't. Yeah. It's kind of hard to go back to
some old episodes. Felt like off. I remember it felt kind of weird. Because like, I think I don't remember if I said this in the episode, but it, like the only thing that kind of sucked about it was like, we're not getting a true remake that follows the exact events. Like we're having this like slightly different version. But after seeing the 7 remake, you know, it really feels like that's what they're kind of going back to. And, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm probably going to play it.
Well, I think it covers your traditionalists.
Exactly.
Right? It's kind of like, I think we talked about this the other day with the Pokemon remakes, right? You and me, Ty? Where it's like, you have the old one kind of like slightly in a new light, and you have the new one that does something different, right? With like Arceus or whatever. Arceus. And then and then this is like the same kind of thing. So you have remake, and then you have remake, and it's doing the same kind of thing. So like, because there is a huge divide in the old gamers and the new gamers, or whatever, however you want to call it, because there are people who are like, oh, I'm going to complain no matter what, but like, because I didn't get exactly what I wanted, but they're like, well, let's give you everything you want, you know,
well,
and,
here you
and
go. Fine.
A battle royale game.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you everything you want and a battle royale game.
Yeah. It could be good. Fortnite does good on mobile, so.
Yeah. I mean, people are hard making fun of it, but, like, low-key, I'm actually kind of excited for it. Like, out of nowhere.
That's a pass.
Apparently,
for me,
the Digital Cerberus online game that looks kind of like it did pretty well in Japan when it was a thing. So.
Cool.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm very. I'll be keeping a close eye on it. That's
for sure. It's not coming until 2022.
Yeah.
All the mobile stuff. So.
We
got time.
Right. We got time for sure. Is that it for you, Jack? Yeah. Excellent. I mean, there was a lot of stuff there. So.
Interesting things happened. Yeah.
And then for the final topic, which is mine, this last weekend was the annual Tales of Festival. Prior years, it was done in person in Japan, but they moved to digital with, you know, everything going on in the world. We didn't get, like, a ton of crazy news this year by any means. It's usually, like, nothing too crazy in terms of, like, news. It's usually like, oh, here's a bunch of the voice cast doing this stuff, or we're playing some of the music or things like that. Like, they do concerts and stuff like that. So it's, like, it's not, like, a huge news event, but, you know, we got some news. We got a new teaser for Tales of Arise, which we haven't received any information in a while. We've been like, oh, we're not getting anything this year, even though it's supposed to be out that year, you know? There's supposed to be new news coming out in spring 2021, and we got a new teaser. First time we got to hear the English voices. It felt like the English voices were pretty decent. It's kind of standard anime voice fare. Nothing too crazy, but I enjoyed it. I'm very excited for this game because it's taking the Tales series into a new thing, you know? So I'm very interested to see what they do with it. There's a lot of stuff that feels like connections to prior games. It really feels connected to, I think was it Zestiria, where like the characters had were associated with like whatever. There's certain characters that feel like very close to characters in other games. So I'm interested to see if it's connected or how is it done, because Zestiria and Berseria are like sequel prequel type deals, and there's certain elements of this one that I could see being connected. Yeah. I think it's going to be its own thing, and they just might be taking elements from that maybe, but I don't know. Either way, we're supposed to be getting more news in spring, which is really soon. And with this on the same note, obviously you can usually expect it through magazines and stuff, where we get a lot of like Bandai news. But Bandai Namco filed a trademark for Bandai Namco Next, which seems to be like a direct like type name, so we could be getting like a Bandai Direct type thing coming up, which could be cool. And a lot of people really picked that information up because of Elden Ring.
Oh, give me Elden Ring.
Because it was right around the same time, and so they think it'll be delivered in the same kind of way, so we'll see. Because it came, the first announcement came in 2019 at E3, and that was mostly radio silent all last year, outside of, hey, we're not giving you any more news about it. Also, there's going to be another Tales of Festival at the end of the year. I don't know if this is just we're hoping to make it an in-person event, or there's going to be more news or what, I don't know. But we are getting a second Tales of Festival this year, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
So,
nice.
That was the big news for that. And I'm just really excited that we're getting more details on this game. It wasn't much because it was like a minute-long teaser, but I'm interested in it. I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, the combat looks really fun and different from the other games for sure.
Oh yeah, it's a big departure from the previous games. I'm probably gonna make us play it when it drops, just so we're up to date on JRPGs, right. You know. But. Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see. Yeah,
I hope that Bandai Next becomes a thing, because like I would love to hear some Elden Ring news and probably any Dot Hack news.
Oh man, give me new Dot Hack, man. I want that.
I know there's been rumors and whispers of it, but like,
there's the problem is there's always rumors, and you know something that's really interesting that I feel like is we're so locked in. Prior knowledge world, right? We all want news about stuff. We all want stuff. You know, everybody absorbs and takes in all the trailers they possibly can. They find out set news and stuff like that. It's such a big, big thing in pop culture type stuff nowadays. And when movies or other stuff like that cut something and people get mad about it, it's like, you haven't even seen the movie yet. It's not out yet. It could be completely unnecessary. Like, what are you getting mad about? This thing doesn't even exist yet. You know? It's wild to me. Just the type of, like, world we're in with it. And, you know, I try and stay out of the movie stuff because, like, when I go into a movie, I want to be completely unknown. Mm-hmm. Games usually have a little bit more content to them, so it doesn't spoil as much. Where it's like, cool, a movie's an hour, 2 hours, you know, max, usually. A game is like, all right, cool, bare minimum, I'm probably getting 15 hours out of it.
Yeah, because, you know, like, even going into, like, Final Fantasy VII, everyone knows, you know, Sephiroth kills Aerith.
It's Final Fantasy VII.
But the thing is, like, the lead-up to it is so good, and just when it happens, like, obviously. But, like, the lead-up to it, in the original game, you know it's coming, but it makes it that much kind of sweeter in a way.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we're such in a culture of that, and it's really interesting to see that. Because I'm like, look, I want to know what it's going to be like, obviously, but I also like to be surprised. Mm. So, and it's funny when studios are quiet about it. Like, they're like, we're just working on it. Like, leave us be, you know, we'll announce it when it's ready or whatever. And people get mad at that because, like, we want more information. I'm like, I get it, but, like, stop. either way, we get it, but stop. That's a cue for the ending, yeah. I think, right? If I've ever heard one. As usual, thank you guys for listening. As you probably know by now, hopefully, if you've been listening to us, we have a blog. We're trying to update it every week at least. Yep. We have episodes coming at you weekly with the Magazine Rack, which you're listening to right now. Thank you. We have our side episodes where we have guests on. Talking about various topics, as we spoiled in this one, we have one coming up in eventually about D&D. We have a upcoming episode about the Fire Emblem series. We have an upcoming episode about the Pokemon anniversary, which is probably coming sooner rather than later. And a couple other ones planned with some fabulous guests. I'm very excited for you guys to hear. And eventually we'll have the next main episode. We know how we are with playing games at this point. I remember being very optimistic. It's like, oh yeah, we could definitely knock this out, these games out really fast and produce this stuff out fast enough. And then we're like, no, we can't.
It started out well. You know, that's when we had less things going on in our lives.
Yeah. And you know, no pandemic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like the games we were playing at first were like a little bit more bite size than crazy life stuff on top of it. So, like, it's been compound stuff recently. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get back to a relatively fair pace. And, you know, I don't think it's been too bad. Either way, completely extra information there for you. Peek behind the curtain. As usual, again, thank you for listening.
Yep.
This has been Bill.
This is Ty.
And I'm Jack, and that was the Magazine Rack.
And we'll see you.
Goodbye. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, I guess.